Well, hello everybody, and this is Richard Usler, and I've got Robert Hicks as our guest speaker today on the Hour of Truth here on the Eagle Radio Network. And I am eagerly waiting to see what topic he's going to speak on today. So there we go. Hello, Robert.
Hello, everybody.
Good to have you up.
It's good to be up. I hope today finds everybody in good spirits and praising the Lord.
Amen. It's a good day for it.
Amen.
In fact, somebody told me one time every day was a good day for it.
It is. Even though there's so many times when we don't want to participate because of whatever's happening in our lives.
You mean we have, like, boo-hoo parties and stuff like that?
All the time. We get in our own way more than anything else does.
Well, I hear that.
But the biggest thing we're supposed to do is to prepare ourselves and get ready for the day that the Lord does return.
Should I tell people about the little bit of fun I had before the meeting today?
Oh, certainly.
Well, I'm sitting up at the table in the camp kitchen with Cheryl Ann and Bob and myself. And I asked Bob if he knew what he was going to talk on today, and he said no. And then Cheryl pipes up with some of the best advice. I mean, you know, you could hear. I mean, I forget what all she said, but it was good advice. So I just turned to her and I said, well, gee, Cheryl, sounds like you got a handle on all this. Why don't you take it today and Bob won't have to? And I got a very interesting response out of that. I thought that was kind of cute myself.
Yeah, it was. But we let her off the hook.
Yeah, she was going to do it.
Yes, she would have.
So her time is coming. Okay, Bob, what do you got for us today so I can sit back and be quiet and listen?
Well, I did not know where I was going to go today, to tell you the truth. But there's been a reoccurring theme that keeps hitting all the time. And that is for us to prepare, to get ready. Because we know the Lord's coming. And you can look at the events around the world today and see that it may not be tomorrow, it may not be the next day, or it might be. But we're to prepare ourselves and make ourselves ready. So I was going to go to 2 Peter 3 today. And in 2 Peter, it starts out, this is the second epistle, beloved. I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So he's trying to reaffirm what he's already taught them.
You know, I think it's interesting here in that he's not talking, he doesn't just say your mind. He says your pure mind, as if that's a different mind than your regular mind.
True.
And the way it's stirred up is through remembrance. That's kind of like meditating on stuff, isn't it?
Well, it's like hearing the same story over and over again, but in a pure fashion.
Yeah.
And 2 goes on, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Now that can really go a bunch of different directions. But if you look at the churches that are out there today, they are walking after their own lusts. They're doing everything that they can out there to sit there and pet people, to make them feel good, so the people give them money. Because they're lusting after money. And scoffers are all those little atheists and other people that are running around that are constantly going, there is no God.
Well, you know, here, it could be, when you look at the next part, the scoffers could also refer to those in the church.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, I mean, he said he was coming, but it's been 2,000 years, he ain't here yet. What makes, you know, why these people think he's coming in our lifetime?
Well, it's just like you have told us, and you have shown us in Scripture that it seems like everything's coming to a head and that everything is totally going down. And then a revival breaks out and the people turn from their wicked ways. So it's, in a sense, it's like God sitting up there going, okay. Well, let's see what they do with this time. So it gets set back and delayed. And it would be great to see it delayed again and again and again.
Yeah, they don't seem to get it through their head that the delay is His grace.
Yes, absolutely. And just like you were saying in the next part, it does get into it a little more. Four says, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from before the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
And you know, that's interesting because it's talking about the first earth.
Yes.
That came and was destroyed. Then we have the second earth, which was destroyed with Noah's flood. And then the third earth he's talking about, that is this earth, that will be destroyed with fire.
Reserved unto fire. Yes, sir. And still, we still have people who are not getting it. People that don't want to get it. But we have some people who do want to get their lives right and do get it straight. And God's given us the entire handbook to not only hear what He did, but also learn what we should be doing. And surprisingly, it's a book that you can find anywhere. But very seldom do you see very many people going across the checkout line with one in their hands. And that's the Bible.
Yeah, somebody just wrote in the chat room, Bob. It was Gail. She said, I've heard you don't have to be completely engulfed in church to be a good Christian. It's too radical.
Well, for what people call a church nowadays, yes, but what is church? What people call a church is a building. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Lord. But what church is a group of Christians coming together.
That's the body of Christ.
That's it.
And the body of Christ, it's the branches on the vine.
Yep. And now, that is the church.
I might be a little bit weird. Now, y'all forgive me. You know, I have been called a little weird once in a while. But I don't know about you, but I want to be where the food is. You know what I mean? And if you're attached to the vine, you get the food and the water from the vine, from the branch, from the root. And if you are detached from that vine, you ain't getting fed. You're not getting any water, and you're not getting any bread. Now, I don't know of too many people who like to only eat one meal a week.
I prefer not to, but it sure seems like they do in the churches.
Yeah, you know, you have a natural food for the body, but there's spiritual food for the soul. And it's amazing how some people are perfectly happy to get along with one meal a week, if that.
Some of them, it's just a couple of meals a year.
And gee, then they wonder why their spirit isn't strong. They wonder why their faith isn't strong. If you're not in the Word continuously every day, you're going to have a weak, puny little spirit.
And I too have been that way in the past. I was one of those nice little pew warmers, you know. I'd sit there and go in on Wednesday evening, get a little fill up. Maybe go in on Saturdays every once in a while just to help get set up for Sunday.
Yeah.
And then go in there Sunday and get a little fill up. And then, you know, something comes up and I'll miss 2 or 3 weeks. And then run back again and get a little fill up.
I wonder how good I could continue doing these radio programs if I only uncovered my solar panels one day a week.
I don't know about doing the shows, but it'd be pretty quiet down there.
I bet I wouldn't have any lights at night. What do you think?
I don't think so.
You know,
we need a continuous renewing.
That's right. You need to charge those batteries. Now, I want to jump in on you here for a little bit because there's verse 8, and it's one of my favorite ones.
Okay, you take it away.
It says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, there's more to this than what I want to say, but you know, I learned a long time ago, when I ask the Lord for something, I don't ask for it for today or tomorrow. I ask for it any time in the next 10,000 years, be fine.
But hoping now, that he'll do it the other way around.
Right. You got it. Now, let's see. This thing keeps popping up. This little thing keeps popping up on me. And I can't get rid of it. There it goes. Go ahead with verse 9, because that's really what it's all about right there.
Okay. The Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Well, there you have
it.
Lord
doesn't want to lose. He doesn't want to lose any of us. Uh-oh, they're saying we lost audio. No, we're back. Okay. Hopefully we're back. He doesn't want to lose anybody. The Lord wants everyone to get it right. And he gives everyone the opportunity.
That's right. So where some people say, well, the Lord's not coming, he's slacking off or something, it's really him just extending grace to the world.
Amen. Because he is long-suffering.
And what that means,
unfortunately, we suffer him long.
Yeah, well, what that means, folks, is suffering here is doesn't mean he's in pain. It means he allows things to go on for a long time before he does something about it.
He wants everybody to get it right.
Yep.
He gives everybody the opportunity. Opportunity. I can't speak today. My tongue's getting tied. All we have to do is turn to him. Turn to his word. First, to learn his word and his message. Second, to study his word. And third, to want to become not just a servant of Jesus Christ, but to become a friend of Jesus Christ, so that we know what his plan is and where it's going. I'm missing something here.
No, you're not.
The chat. I'm sorry, it was distracting me because it's flipping around.
What? That's okay. I'll take care of the chat. And you take care of that rumbling noise of your beard on that microphone.
That's not from my beard. It's not touching my beard. It's the wind coming in through the window.
Oh,
let me slide back a little further, see if that helps a little.
Okay.
But we have the choice. We have the way. We have the tools. The only thing we have to do is get off of our tail ends and decide what we want. Because he's going to let you go whichever way you want to. Now, there are some people who he's going to work on them and get their attention. And they're going to do what he wants them to do no matter what. It may not be nice. Maybe nice for a while, little hints. I think most of us that are in the ministry have received those little hints and those little jars, you know, trying to get us to go the right direction. And we have, at least I can speak for myself, I have definitely sat there and did the exact opposite for many years. I just praise God that he didn't give up on me.
Amen. You figure he'd punish you by putting you with me, right?
No, sir. I do not feel that as a punishment at all.
Oh, I have to work harder then. I like verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I had a vision of that one time. And it was, oh God, it must have been like 1973 or 74. And I saw a vision of that. It was really radical. I saw all these people just burning in the bones and crumbling into ash. And then I saw others just walking through it like nothing touched them. It's pretty neat.
Kind of like stone moving through fire, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
There you go, running around in the fire, dancing.
Yeah. Dancing.
Not
with
being
the Lord.
Touched.
Well, you know, the other thing about verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You know, let's put aside for a moment the end of the world, the catching away, the Lord coming in the clouds. Let's put that away for a minute. And know that every single person, no matter who you are, you're going to die.
That's right.
You're going to die.
And you don't know when.
You don't know when. That will come as a thief in the night. And you will be meeting the Lord at that moment. So, you know, people can run around and be worried about the end of the world. They need to be working their salvation out in fear and trembling, knowing that the end of their life will come when they know not.
Amen.
You know, you talk about people on death row, or I've heard it talked about how terrible it must be on death row. Well, actually, stop and think about it. You know, they know when they're going to die.
Yep.
They got
right down to the minute.
That's right. They got the opportunity to do something about it and get it right, because they're on a timetable.
And most of them only have a there's a timetable. Most of them are on a very, very short timetable.
And the rest of us out here, we're on a timetable. We just don't know the time.
Yep.
And we don't even know we're on the table.
And you think about it. And you think about how long you have been walking on this earth. Each individual of us that are on here listening, and the ones that will listen to it in the future, how long have you been walking on this earth, doing your own thing, going your own way, doing what you want to do? And in less than a second, it's done.
You never know.
Can't tell.
I never will forget a story my mother used to tell me about a man in Maryland who was an atheist. Now, he was a funny kind of an atheist, because he didn't believe in God, yet he was always telling God off. So go figure. I don't know how you figured that one out. But anyway, it was in a rainstorm. He's walking down the sidewalk. People heard him saying this. My mother was one of those that heard him. Lightning bouncing all around, and he's shaking his fist. He said, "You can't aim. You're no good. You can't aim worth a blankety blank blank. You missed again, and you call yourself a god." And he goes on. He's on and on and on. Right? A honeybee comes out of nowhere, flies into his ear and stings him in the eardrum, and he dies. Who was the joke on? And you and I both know honeybees don't fly in the rain.
Nope. They like to stay all cuddled up in their nice little homes. But no flash, no show. Lord can take you at any time. He doesn't need to cause a great commotion when he does it.
That's correct. He can just look at your heart and say, "Stop beating," and it's over with.
I don't know if any of you know it, but there's about 10 years of my life I was a volunteer firefighter. And it was amazing to me that you have these people that have a heart attack and they're in all this pain and everything else, and you come in and you put them on a gurney, you know, and you get them into the ambulance and off they go to the hospital. And in a few weeks, they're fine. And then you've got these other people that are right in the middle of a grocery store or something, and boom, they're gone. And we get a call running out there, and no matter what we did, they were gone. There was no reviving to it.
I hear you. Think we ought to go on with verse 11?
Oh, sure. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Now, seeing that these things shall be dissolved means that they shall come to pass, just as the word says.
And also, so it also means if they're not going to last, what good are they?
True.
What good are they for you?
Well, They are good for one thing. It is your time. It's the time for you to learn. It's the time for you to bring yourself to the point where you know the Lord so that you can be saved.
Yeah,
and so that when you get to heaven, you can stay in heaven.
Well, amen. All of that is true, but I think in the sense of what he's talking about here, of all the things on the earth are going to be dissolved in a fire, in a flame, in nothing time, what good is all this stuff for you? It's good to use to serve God, amen. And our life is here to teach us to serve God so that we can be obedient in heaven, because we will have a free will in heaven, amen.
Amen.
Like you're saying there. But we get so caught up in the things of the world, not realizing we can't take them with us. They're not going to save us. Fancy cars and big houses and all that stuff, that's not going to save us. I know a lot of people sometimes look at me and they say, look at Richard, he's got all these toys. Yeah, I've got these toys, but what do I use them for? My idea,
the word.
Yeah, the whole idea I use for these toys is to serve God. If I wasn't using them to serve God, I'd just be playing solitaire, and that's a waste of time.
I hear that.
I'll tell myself that next time.
Yeah, you'll listen real well, I'm sure. But it's true. There is nothing on this earth.
You know, Casey
put Didn't you get to keep?
Casey just put a thing in there where she likes to comment, the good ones die young, or only the good ones die young. She says she's being sarcastic. But there's actually a place in the scriptures that says that a lot of times God takes the righteous out quick for their sake.
Yep. To keep them from falling.
Yep. So next time you see somebody that's walking with the Lord and they die sooner than you think they should, maybe you ought to be praising the Lord. Maybe the Lord saw something in their future you don't see.
That's right.
Okay, let's go in verse 12.
Okay, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved. And I believe it is talking about the sky and the stars there, that they are going to be gone. He's not talking about heaven itself. And the elements, take it right down to the basic, smallest, minute element there is. And they will all melt with fervent heat. That means everything, not so much as a molecule or atom will be left.
Yep, right down to the atomic level.
13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Now, you know that word heavens is interesting. It's plural.
Yes, it is.
Which makes me believe that the heavens above, in verse 12, refer to all three heavens. The heaven that is our atmosphere, the heaven that is the solar system around us, and the galaxies and whatever else in the universes, and then God's heaven. He's going to destroy it all, everything. Everything's going to be gone. He's going to start with a whole clean slate. The only thing that will be reserved is us, New Jerusalem.
Wherein dwelleth righteousness. purity. None of this outside garbage. Of course, if somebody tries to bring in some garbage, that's where it tells us and shows us that we won't be there. Leon, we are in 2 Peter chapter 3. It is a stark truth. It is reality. Okay, 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And this points right back to being with Jesus Christ. For he says, he is the way, the truth, and the light, and no one comes to the Father except through him.
So much and, for the many paths.
Yes. And it tells us, be diligent. That means, with everything you've got, to do nothing but go for him. And the only way you can be without spot and blameless is by the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace. No other way. No other path. Fifteen, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this would go back to the Acts of the Apostles, is what he is talking about here.
Actually, he's talking about the many things, but part of it was the writings to the Thessalonians about the coming of the Lord, mm-hmm. and the catching away. See, it was Paul that was given the mystery of the catching away.
Yes.
And Peter is referring back to that. In verse 16, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, in other words, wrestle with, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So Peter wasn't given the revelation of the catching away of the church of Philadelphia. It was given to Paul.
Yes.
And yet Peter is wise enough to refer back to Paul and say, yes, this is stuff Paul was given and wrote to you, and I'm backing him up. I'm saying, you better believe it. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there saying, you really think we ought to take this serious? You better believe you better take it serious.
It's our choice to take it serious. And I hope that people come to the right decision. Amen. It's just as the prayer for Grace Ranch. I'm doing good today. The prayer for Grace Ranch is that the Lord will bring out here only those who he wants here.
Well, for whatever reason.
Yep.
And many that come out here, it's their last chance. We've seen some come out, and it was their last chance. And they turned away, and that was the end.
Yep.
And we've seen some come, it was their last chance, and they believed, and praise God, they're either still here or they're not here, but they're still walking with the Lord.
Amen. And then there's some we're just not sure what happened to them. They were here and then they're gone and we haven't heard no more about them or from them.
But God knows and that's what counts.
That's right. We did what we were supposed to do. And we will continue doing it as long as he has us here.
Amen.
Sixteen, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Now, he's not saying here that you won't or you can't understand the words in the Bible. You can. But there are those people, through their own stubbornness and their disobedience, that are going to fight against it, and they're going to say it's impossible to learn.
You know, there's a verse, there's one word in that verse that really jumps out at me that I find interesting. Other.
Other.
As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. What he is actually referring to Paul's epistles as scriptures. That's how much he took them as God's word. Put them in the same boat as the Old Testament scriptures. And true it should be.
Amen.
For these are the words of God given to men to give us.
Like you say, the Bible is nothing more than 66 letters dictated by God to his secretaries, who are men, who write them down.
Amen.
Seventeen, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know the things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And I'm going to go ahead and finish this. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. And that word be is added in. And amen.
That wind's really getting to you there today.
Yeah, it's zipping right in the window, but it's the only thing that's keeping this place under 90 degrees right now. Uh-huh. So I hesitate to close the window. I'm trying to back up and still be able to read my screen.
I hear you. I think it's interesting, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before. In other words, you're pre-warned now. You've got no excuse.
Yep.
Beware, lest ye also, unless you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. That warning would not be there if it wasn't possible.
Amen. And let's face it, there's many people who are quote-unquote past Christians that grew up in quote-unquote Christian homes.
There are people out there who believe that once you go up front to the altar and you accept the Lord, that's it.
Saved. Once saved, always saved.
Yeah, that nothing you can do can cost you your salvation. Well, if that's the case, what's Hebrews 6 all about?
Amen.
I mean, it's clear that once you go to heaven, if you sin in heaven, there's no sacrifice for you there. You will go directly to hell. You won't pass go, and you won't collect your $200.
Can't put Jesus on the cross the second time.
That's right.
I don't think he's going to allow it.
I know this is something a lot of people don't want to hear. But see, the sin, let me tell you, the sin is rebellion. That's what the sin is.
Yep.
All sin has its root in rebellion. And God uses our time here to help us get through rebellion and get it out of us. Now, I know when we go to heaven, we get new bodies. Praise God.
Amen. I don't want to take this thing with me.
That's right. And the sin nature is gone. But our will remains. Our free will remain. The Lord made it clear to me one day. Made it very clear to me. Shook me up. That if I were to die right this second, the way I am right now is the way I will be in heaven. And I got news for you. When he showed me that, I didn't want to die right that second because I didn't think I'd have much chance to last very long up there.
Amen. Gail got a question here. Then how did Lucifer, the anointed cherub, fall?
Because Lucifer had free will. And he let pride develop within himself. And it was that pride, which is rebellion, that God had to cast out of heaven. See, rebellion and pride, they're sisters. They hold hands.
If you have one, you have the other.
That's right. If you are rebellious, if you have rebellion, you have pride. If you have pride, you have rebellion. Because it's by pride you rebel.
Yep. And if you say you don't fight this all the time, then you're lying to yourself.
Well, you know, maybe they don't fight it all the time. Maybe they let it win all the time.
This is a possibility, too. For me, it is something that I have to fight daily. But I'm not giving up. I'm still fighting it.
Amen. I fight it every day. And God gives me plenty of people to help me fight it.
It keeps getting a few tossed in there going my way, too. Although some of them are mirrors.
You know, the other thing, but grow in grace. I like that. Grow in grace. You know, you can't grow in grace if you take yourself serious.
Well, you can't grow in grace if you take the things that are happening around the world serious.
You know, I always say take God's word serious. Take God serious, but don't take yourself serious.
That's right.
And when I say yourself, I mean your flesh, your natural man. It's not going to be around. It's going to die. It's going to be gone.
It's going to get sick. It's going to get better. Over and over again.
And when it goes to the grave, it goes to the grave without punishment.
Yep.
If you agree with the flesh, you take the punishment that rightly belongs to the flesh. If you disagree with the flesh, then the flesh goes to the grave, but you go forward into righteousness in Christ to eternal life.
Okay, let's see. She continued on there. So then he lost his salvation or place in heaven. Yep.
Yep.
Permanently.
Permanent. It was a permanent thing.
And it's the same thing that will happen to us if we don't get it right and get our lives right here and learn how to be obedient.
Right.
Because if you cannot be obedient to somebody that is over you, that is a human or a man, skip the human part because that gets into a whole new subject, a man or a woman that is over you, If you cannot be obedient to them, then how will you ever be obedient to the Lord? That's one of those things that I end up going up on the hill every once in a while and get a good reminder of. Well, that is about all I had today. I'd like to open it up for questions.
Thank you, Lord.
What was that? Okay.
That was me accidentally trying to bring something in that didn't come in the way it was supposed to.
Okay. Does anybody got any questions out there or comments? Give them a little bit, because we know it takes a little bit to be able to type and actually come up on the chat compared to our transmission. And Bob drives real fast to get to the top of that hill. Yes, I do sometimes. The whole reason I go to the top of that hill, though, is there's no other distraction up there.
That's
right.
It's
just a quiet, serene place that's better than being in a building, because you've got all kinds of distractions that happen, like the breeze blowing in through my window right now.
That breeze makes it cool, though.
Yes, I will take that breeze. I mean, it's only 89 degrees inside my cabin right now, and it's probably 95, 96, something like that outside. Maybe hotter.
I got 88. I'm cooler than you are.
That's okay. I can run down to the camp kitchen and be in 70.
Yeah, I hear that. Hey, man, I could go up to the camp kitchen, but I'd drive. I'm too lazy to run.
This is true. I can understand that and agree with it myself.
All right, we've got, roughly 10, 11 minutes left. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the first part of Shields of Brass and Shields of Gold for the rest of the meeting.
Okay, that sounds like a winner.
And I'll stick around in the chat room and chat with people over it.
Okay, and I'm going to head on down to prepare for our 1 o'clock meeting.
Okay, see you then.
See you then. Everybody have a great day, and God bless. I hope the word today blessed you greatly, and I wish that all of you shall learn from it and follow the word of the Lord.
Amen. All right, folks, I'll put this on as soon as I'm out of here. Thanks for coming up. We're going to play Shields of Brass, Shields of Gold next. I hope you'll enjoy it.